Big Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time we come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us to this country that we love's undivided.
Yep.
Welcome back.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast, this Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. Probably worth mentioning, phones. Local call-in, 512-248-8252. Again, 512-248-8252. Toll-free, of course, if you don't have free long distance, 800-313-9443. Again, 800-313-9443. So, some things that people have written. Why do you do that? Why don't you just tell people what you think? You know, some people ask sometimes, why quote Thomas Jefferson? Well, there are a variety of reasons, perhaps. Jaron Lanier's You Are Not a Gadget, a manifesto, part one, What is a Person? Chapter two, An Apocalypse of Self-Abdication. Think about that. An apocalypse of self-abdication. So he talks about, he sort of juxtaposes the singularity and the rapture, I would say two sides of the same coin. So he says there might be some truth to the ideas associated with the singularity at the very largest scale of reality. It might be true that on some vast cosmic basis, higher and higher forms of consciousness inevitably arise until the whole universe becomes a brain or something along those lines. I feel like here is where we are sort of almost directly, not quite, almost directly confronted by the invisible hand of the benevolent planner. And perhaps, you know, the Charles Baudelaire quote applies with force, you know, the one that was paraphrased in The Usual Suspects, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist. The way Baudelaire put it, the finest trick of the devil is to persuade you that he does not exist. And that there is no planner. There's no plan. There's no plan. Even though it's been written about over at Lucius Trust, you know, the work of the hierarchy. So continuing, Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, a manifesto. Even at much smaller scales of millions or even thousands of years, it is more exciting to imagine humanity evolving into a more wonderful state than we can presently articulate. The only alternatives would be extinction or stodgy stasis, which would be a little disappointing and sad. So let us hope for transcendence of the human condition as we now understand it. The difference between sanity and fanaticism is found in how well the believer can avoid confusing consequential differences in timing. Ah, yes. Consequential differences in timing, dear comrades. What if Tim LaHaye accidentally helped, you know, sort of, I don't know, mislead many people in a preemptive sort of fashion, you know, the anti-biblical plan maybe to preempt the biblical narrative, if that makes sense, without digressing down that tangent and rabbit hole. The difference between sanity and fanaticism is found in how well the believer can avoid confusing consequential differences in timing. If you believe the rapture is imminent, fixing the problems of this life might not be your greatest priority. You might even be eager to embrace wars and tolerate poverty and disease in others to bring about the conditions that could prod the rapture into being. And it's funny, it's uncanny how accurate that portrayal of, you know, certain demographics is. In the same way, if you believe the singularity is coming soon, you might cease to design technology to serve humans and prepare instead for the grand events it will bring. But in either case, the rest of us would never know if you had been right. Technology working well to improve the human condition is detectable, and you can see that possibility portrayed in optimistic science fiction like Star Trek. The singularity, however, would involve people dying in the flesh and being uploaded into a computer and remaining conscious, or people simply being annihilated in an imperceptible instant before a new superconsciousness takes over the earth. The rapture and the singularity share one thing in common. They can never be verified by the living. Isn't that curious? Kind of like, I don't know, trips to Mars, perhaps, you know? Whether it's, you know, actually a trip out into the desert somewhere to be exterminated or whatever. Curious things. Can they actually be verified by the living? So that's interesting. An apocalypse of self-abdication. An apocalypse of self-abdication. Before I get to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and quickly before we go to the phones here in a second, a little excerpt from Bertrand Russell's Impact of Science on Society, starting around page 48. let's see, where do we want to start? Where? Underneath the system of so-called free labor, there is another, the system of forced labor and concentration camps. The life of the victims of this system is unspeakable. But before I continue, you know, one of the things that he sort of addresses and that we've talked about before is, you know, this concept applied in ways that are not as direct and perceivable. Sometimes it's, you know, Lark reminds us of the invisible serf's collar, for example. So underneath the system of so-called free labor, free, quote-unquote, there is another, the system of forced labor and concentration camps. The life of the victims of this system is unspeakable. The hours are unbearably long, the food only just enough to keep the laborers alive for a year or so, the clothing in an Arctic winter so scanty that it would barely suffice in an English summer. Men and women are seized in their homes in the middle of the night. There is no trial, and often no charge is formulated. They disappear, and inquiries by their families remain unanswered. After a year or two in northwest Siberia or on the shores of the White Sea, they die of cold, overwork, and undernourishment. But that causes no concern to the authorities. There are plenty more to come. This terrible system is rapidly growing. The number of people condemned to forced labor is a matter of conjecture. Some say that 16% of the adult males in the USSR are involved, and all competent authorities except the Soviet government and its friends, and let's define terms here, shall we, dear comrades, are agreed that it is at least 8%. The portion of women and children, though large, is much less than that of adult males. Inevitably, forced labor, because it is economical, and we've talked about this, you know, with regard to the, you know, CCA, for example, Corrections Corporation of America, and the sort of legalized use of forced labor here in the penal colony, otherwise known as America, you know, the highest per capita incarceration rate in the developed world. Inevitably, forced labor, because it is economical, is favorably viewed by the authorities and tends, by its competition, to depress the condition of free laborers. Again, you know, Gresham's law applies, I think, you know, bad labor forces out good kind of thing. See it in a lot of different ways. You know, the visas, for example, that the tech companies are relying on to exploit disparities, etc. In the nature of things, unless the system is swept away, it must grow until no one is outside it except the army, the police, and government officials. That's funny. That kind of strikes a resonant chord. From the standpoint of the national economy, the system has great advantages. It has made possible the construction of the Baltic White Sea Canal and the sale of timber in exchange for machinery. It has increased the surplus of labor available for war production. By the terror that it inspires, it has diminished disaffection. But these are small matters compared to what we are told is to be accomplished in the near future. Atomic energy is to be employed, so at least it is said, to divert the waters of the River Yenisei, which now flow fruitlessly into the Arctic, so as to cause them to bestow fertility on a vast desert region in Central Asia. But if, when this work is completed, Russia is still subject to a small despotic aristocracy, there is no reason to expect that the masses will be allowed to benefit. And here in the on the North American continent, enter the ghost of Murray Strong, for example. It will be found that radioactive spray can be used to melt the polar ice, or that a range of mountains in northern Siberia would divert the cold north winds, and could be constructed at a cost in human misery which would not be thought excessive. And whenever other ways of disposing of the surplus fail, there is always war. So long as the rulers are comfortable, what reason have they to improve the lot of their serfs? I think the evils that have grown up in Soviet Russia will exist in a greater or lesser degree, Bertrand Russell writes, wherever there is a scientific government, which is securely established and is not dependent upon popular support. Have we seen that, dear comrades, especially in the COVID and so-called ostensibly post-COVID era? It's real interesting, by the way, when you contrast the headlines with what you actually see with your own eyes. How many people are doing that? Reading the headlines and then going out. I happen to be in close contact, I suppose you could say, with some of the vacation rental industry, for example. And I can say with absolute certainty that the depiction of this so-called Delta variant and the fear and the fear-mongering that is inflicted by the mainstream media in particularly is not something that correlates in any direct way, shape, or fashion to people's behavior on the street. You've probably seen the same. We have to social distance. We have to do all these things. No, we have to keep wearing masks. Really? Because all of those things were nonsensical and anti-scientific at the outset and still don't make any sense. So I see what you're doing. You're just trying to continue to torture people and continue to inflict these double binds on people to induce a state of schizophrenia as a means to subjugate people, to get people to comply and become obeisant. Got it. So, Bertrand Russell, I think the evils that have grown up in Soviet Russia will exist in a greater or lesser degree wherever there is a scientific government, which are so-called pseudoscientific, perhaps scientism government, which is securely established and is not dependent upon popular support. Hello, America. It is possible nowadays for a government to be very much more oppressive than any government could be before there was scientific technique. Propaganda makes persuasion easier for the government. Public ownership of halls and paper makes counter-propaganda more difficult. You know, Stuart Chase's control without ownership, that kind of concept. And the effectiveness of modern armaments make popular risings impossible. No revolution can succeed in a modern country unless it has the support of at least a considerable section of the armed forces. But the armed forces can be kept loyal by being given a higher standard of life than that of the average worker, and that includes law enforcement, right? And this is made easier by every step in the degradation of ordinary labor. Are we seeing that, dear comrades? Hashtag fight for 15. Thus, the very evils of the system help to give it stability. Apart from external pressure, there is no reason why such a regime should not last for a very long time. Scientific societies are as yet in their infancy. Again, this is 1952. It may be worthwhile to spend a few moments in speculating as to possible future developments of those that are oligarchies. It is to be expected that advances in physiology and psychology will give governments much more control over individual mentality than they now have, even in totalitarian countries. Fitta laid it down, Johann Gottlieb Fitta, laid it down that education should aim at destroying free will so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. But in his day, this was an unattainable ideal. What he regarded as the best system in existence produced Karl Marx. Think about that. So we are living now in a world that is basically created in the image of Fitta, and he thought that Karl Marx was basically a Luddite conservative by comparison, if that makes sense. In future, such failures are not likely to occur where there is a dictatorship. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. Even if all are miserable, all will believe themselves happy because the government will tell them that they are so. And they will obviously willingly put their shoulder to the infliction of this and imposition of this on their fellow sufferers. Which is part of the so-called education, diet, injections, and injunctions, etc., etc. And then he goes on, and I've read more from this area or this section of the impact of science on society, but we'll leave it there. And Fitta, we'll come back to Fitta in a minute. Going to Hayek's Road to Serfdom, but first let's go to the phones. James in Vancouver, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
People talk about science and, Kurzweil talked about, uploading the human consciousness into a computer. Is that it? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Kurzweil, the singularity.
Yeah. Yeah, Kurzweil is no longer with us, is he? He's dead, am I correct?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, knowledge, he's still alive.
Yeah, but
let's
one of the greatest, they say one of the greatest minds of the 20th century, John von Neumann, he died at 57 of a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And many, many, many great scientists, to my mind, died in the 20th century, and their lives could have been extended, but the governments or the people in charge don't find these scientists to be to be an asset. It appears to me that scientists are more of a liability for them. And they create these trends like, yeah, we're going to all get loaded up into the computer, and we're going to all live happily ever after. And these are, to my mind, just trends, because I don't believe scientifically it's possible to load one's consciousness into a computer, because what the driving force in the DNA is not electromagnetic in the first place, but another principle that they don't want to look at is the second law of thermodynamics.
Let's talk about that when we come back, James. We're headed into a break. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
served with a foreclosure lawsuit or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction. A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
Welcome back. But tears, I can't hold it. All right, we're on the phones. James in Vancouver. The other thing they don't take into account is the second law of thermodynamics.
Right. So that would mean that in the process of uploading a person's brain or consciousness into the computer, there would have to be a loss somewhere. Mm-hmm. Any process, chemical, physical, or otherwise, any process cannot have 100% efficiency, you see. And these guys are pulling these rabbits out of hats they write these books and they say, yeah, it's going to happen this way, it's going to happen that way. But who's behind the book, right?
Exactly.
Are we back to, this is the Tavistock thing, right? John F. Kennedy is assassinated. We need a diversion. Okay, go get the Beatles, right? But hey, something's missing. Kennedy's not back. You see what I'm saying? Irreversible mm-hmm. processes. Nobody's looking. Well, of course, yeah, a lot of people, they've got the first law of thermodynamics, conservation of energy. They got that one down. But when it comes to, like the building that went down in Florida, that's exactly what I'm talking about. When you don't do any positive work to maintain the system will go, the entropy of the system will go up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And scientists, they're used a bit. They let them out and they let them make a few claims. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. I mean, they're gone. Early. And this whole, these shots everybody wants to have. Look at this process here. This started in 2020, the 15th of March. The Ides of March is when it all started, right? And they thought, oh, this is going to be easy. We'll just talk everybody into it. And that's sort of working, but it's not working at 100% efficiency. And I don't know what they think they're going to do, you see?
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
Well, and there are these curious, not anomalies, but sort of anomalies in, kind of how these stories are rolled out to people.
Yeah.
For example, you know, to your point, you know, you think of guys like Kerry Mullis,
right?
The
right.
inventor of PCR testing technology, who, you know, is about as outspoken against what has, you know, the improper use of the technology in the so-called COVID era as anyone possibly could be, and yet no one's listening. He's the guy who says that Anthony Fauci is a quack,
right?
You know, this Nobel Prize winning scientist. But like you said, you know, obviously he conveniently went away just in time to not hear from him.
Exactly. Another, exactly.
You know, there's Mike Eden, former Pfizer C-level executive. He said some interesting things mainstream media is not listening to. One of the examples, speaking of Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, that I mentioned, the Turing test is something that we're always reminded of, but it's disingenuous because, as I pointed out many times, Jaron Lanier reminds us that even Alan Turing himself wrote in 1950, in a 1950 paper on the test, he wrote, in attempting to construct such machines, we should not be irreverently usurping his, capital H, power of creating souls any more than we are in the procreation of children. Rather, we are, in either case, instruments of his, capital H, will, providing mansions for the souls that he, capital H, creates. And so that's Alan Turing. If you listen to the narrative by the, you know, the wizard behind the curtain, you would never think Alan Turing would write something like that.
And Alan Turing was gone a few years later.
Exactly. Not around to defend. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Right. And absolutely. And this is, there's been some great physicists who could have lived longer. I always try to write, or I try to say that a physicist or a chemist spend all their lives trying to learn what electrons will do, let's say, in a chemical bond, and yet those same learned
people. We're headed into another break.
Okay.
Let's continue that one. Come back. Stick around, folks.
Visit
we'll be right back.
Our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, June 30th, 2021. On the phones, James in Vancouver. James, before we get back to what you're saying, to your point, again, another example we talked about more recently, last week, 1 week ago exactly, the 23rd, yeah. Wednesday the 23rd, Dr. Robert Malone, the inventor of mRNA vaccine technology, yeah. That conversation with Brett Weinstein, Steve Kirsch, and Robert Malone. Yeah. Same kind of thing, even though I would sort of consider that a kind of a limited hangout discussion. Still, you have Robert Malone on the record expressing concern about the way this technology is being used.
Yep.
And is the mainstream listening to this, the foremost authority, the unimpeachable witness, yep. The guy who, you know, so we got Kerry Mullis, we're not listening to him.
Yep.
Robert Malone, right. We're not listening to him. Yeah, to right. Your point.
Well, no, my point is that it's been my observation that you've got some of the most brilliant physicists of the 20th century who were out there trying to, and chemists as well. I'll put Pauling, for example, in there. And why, when would they get sick or, you know, they're approaching death's door, are they entrusting themselves to a physician who has a very, very much lower understanding of what yeah. electrons and atoms and molecules actually do. Mm-hmm. For example, look at it, just, I'll give you one more example. You take hydrogen and oxygen, two separate things on the left side of the equation, and you draw an arrow going to the right side, and you get water, right? Then you can take an arrow from that water molecule, and you can draw it going left. In other words, you can separate the water into hydrogen and oxygen back again, okay? Now, listen to this. On the left side, you have a healthy cell, okay? A healthy cell of the body or tissue, whatever you want to do. Just say one cell. And now you draw an arrow to the right, and you say infected cell, okay? Now watch. What's stopping anybody from drawing an arrow going left, saying from infected cell back to healthy cell?
Right? Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates. Sorry.
Exactly, anyway. exactly. But that's been going on for decades. That's,
yeah.
Right. That's been going on since 1900. But anybody who, even somebody in high school or a freshman in university would say to a professor, well, hey, professor, why can't we draw the arrow the other way? And the professor will say, snap at them and say, well, that can't be done. Or, well, you know, the blah, 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 right? But it's a good question. And the fact is, the arrow can be drawn. You can take an infected cell and you can create a new cell with it if you know how to do it. And that has been worked out in the 1930s.
But, you know, I received a book recently, No Such Thing as Terminal. I have not made my way through it yet, but somebody sent me a book on this subject.
Well, that was me.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay,
I'm being facetious.
But look at, somebody, check out pages 394, 395. There's the smoking gun stuff in the back. It's called, the chapter is called My Back Pages, and the smoking gun stuff is on around 394, 395, where you have a letter there saying what's going on, and then you have a letter from the director saying you stay, don't even proceed, you know, you proceed, you know, it's a threatening, there's your conspiracy right there.
Hmm. Interesting.
There it is.
That is literally the back of the book.
A little bit redacted because I don't want to involve parties, right? Because it's really explosive. But I think you get the gist of it.
This reminds me of the conversation, you know, speaking again of these what I would call unimpeachable witnesses. There was what's her name who – and I've talked about the story of cancer many times. For example, you know, folks going through stage 4 treatment and things like that. Only to realize they thought that they, you know, like you said, giving, you know, people in similar to what you said about these brilliant minds giving themselves over to the into the care of cruder, you know, folks with a much cruder understanding of things that they understand very well.
Exactly.
These people that have high profile voices, for example, celebrities and things that go through this cancer treatment, they are very trusting, and then only to come to realize that, as some of them have put it themselves, this is just another racket. It's another part of the syndicate, and they're preying on these people who are going through stage 4 treatment, and this isn't a thing that's good. The lady, I forget her name, the one lady that comes to mind was the lady who spoke out very publicly as she was passing away. Quite literally, against the, you know, the cancer ribbons and things. She said very plainly, it's a racket, and none of it's intended to help people. Actually, it's the predation of the sick, and it's unbelievable.
Well, well, cancer is only one kind of degenerative disease.
Mm-hmm.
Think
mm-hmm.
about arthritis, sclerosis.
Yeah,
lupus. The arrow goes the other way. You see?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The mutations are much easier to correct for somebody who's got arthritis. See?
Sure.
Because you don't. Yeah, and you might have been thinking of Farrah Fawcett. I don't know, but Farrah Fawcett was a casualty. And I'm appalled, but I'm not surprised, because I've been, you know, this is there's somebody inside of you that has to make the decision, and when you feel in your heart, only your heart, you see, a person's heart tells them what's right. Yeah, and go ahead.
I can hear the, you know, folks like John in Tennessee reminding us, you know, the biblical admonition that the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, and who can know it. Passages like Jeremiah 17:9, for example. Yeah. But that notwithstanding, I need to figure out who it was that I'm thinking of. I'll think of it. Gosh, what is her name? I remember, you know, that there was that video, it circulated on YouTube for a while, of her publicly at a speech basically denouncing the organization that she was a big part of, and everyone was shocked. And this is just one example, like you're saying. I mean, sort of endemic. This is the way this thing works. And what better way to control all of this than to, you know, again, in Stalin-esque sort of fashion, you know, the best way to control the opposition is to start it or lead it.
Well, yeah, we have the agencies. You see, the alphabet agencies. And the first priority of every agency is to maintain its structure. I got that from Kenneth N. Waltz, Theory of International Politics, page 111, right? Systems exist not for the sake of necessarily helping people. They exist in order to stay in existence. See, that's their first priority.
Right.
And that's Well, look, I'll let you go. We can talk again. How's that?
Thanks, James. As always,
appreciated. Okay, no problem. Take care. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. I think the woman that I'm thinking of was Charlotte Haley, perhaps. So let's see. Yeah, National Cancer Institute, Pink Ribbon, Susan Cohen Foundation, all of that, Barbara Brenner, et cetera, et cetera. So first on the scene was Susan G. Komen, Breast Cancer Foundation. Komen had been handing out bright pink ribbon, bright pink visors, and breast cancer survivors running in its race for the cure since late 1990. This is another one of these people that doesn't get to defend their position. And this is why, again, you know, speaking of, as I lean away, perfect. I got to get back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom here in a second. You know, we have the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. And I think this gets sort of right to the heart of why what James is saying gets right to the heart of the second commandment, you shall not make for yourself an idol or graven image. When, you know, Hegel isn't around to defend himself, and kind of clear the air a little bit, we are led to believe he's responsible for things that maybe Fitta is more responsible for, as guys like Bertrand Russell remind us. Even Wikipedia reminds us of that. But people are not around to defend their remarks. And this is why I say over time, you know, speaking of Alan Turing, that example that I read from Jaron Lanier's You're Not a Gadget Manifesto, people are we're led to believe, we're beguiled to believe that these people, you know, these sound bites and these, you know, this work and research and so forth is bent into an agenda that was not necessarily their own, or they weren't even necessarily a part of. And that's why if you go back and read, you know, people will say Freud was not a Freudian. You know, Marx was not necessarily a Marxist in today's orthodoxy. I would say Calvin was not a Calvinist. Luther was not a Lutheran, et cetera, et cetera. But these people are not around to defend their remarks anymore. So if you make a graven image, the moment you're gone, the hidden persuaders may conscript that to an agenda that you may not necessarily condone. The Turing test is a great example, I think. From Alan Turing's own words from his 1950 paper. And so, you know, that should inform our discretion, perhaps, when we're busy, you know, can't think of the word, elevating our fellow men to stratospheric heights, you know, where none of us belong. It's not exactly what I'm thinking, but that's expressive enough. So this article, I've mentioned this before, Think Before You Pink, History of the Pink Ribbon by Sandy Fernandez. The woman was 68-year-old Charlotte Haley, the granddaughter, sister and mother of women who had battled breast cancer. Her peach-colored loops were handmade in her dining room. Each set of five came with a card saying the National Cancer Institute annual budget is $1.8 billion. Only 5% goes for cancer prevention. Help us wake up our legislators and America by wearing this ribbon, then Self Magazine called. So the article, this is sort of an aside, but we'll do it. From the beginning, the pink ribbon connoting breast cancer awareness has been embroiled in controversy. Today, some members of the movement wear it proudly, giving thanks for both the symbol and its attendant charity dollar largesse. Others hate it with a passion. But to much of the media and the world at large, the ribbon is the breast cancer movement. Where did the ribbon come from? Where is it going? And what has it meant along the way? The merging of the ribbon and symbolism in this country came about in two huge leaps. The first occurred in 1979, the year that Penny Langan, wife of a hostage who'd been taken in Iran, was inspired by song to tie yellow ribbons around the trees in her front yard. The ribbon, Americans were told on the nightly news, signaled her desire to see her husband home again. And you have to wonder, when national news tells you something, there's probably a reason behind it that we're not being told about. For the first time, ribbon became medium. Ribbon became message. Perhaps maybe not the first time, wasn't it? Napoleon, who said, "I could have conquered the world if I had more blue ribbons." Yellow ribbons sprouted up across the country in solidarity. That was step one. Step two occurred 11 years later when AIDS activists looked at the yellow ribbons that had been resurrected for soldiers fighting the Gulf War and said, "What about something for our boys dying here at home?" In, I would say, Bernaysian, you know, hidden persuader sort of fashion, right? And You know, there was there are a couple of articles. Remember Bill Clinton? This reminds me of the Bill Clinton, the New York Times articles back in 1992, March 27th and March 28th. Maybe I'll mention those on the other side of the broadcast. And there's that clip, too, that floats around. I wonder if I could find that in time. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, KosherTified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the KosherTified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Television signal.
That was the infamous remark, right, to Bob Rafsky, a member of the AIDS activism group ACT UP, at Laura Bell, I think, nightclub, Midtown Manhattan. So I think that was the incident, right? Rafsky was saying, you know, basically, you know, and there's so much behind this and we're out of time now, but Rafsky, I would say, legitimately saying, hey, what are you going to do about this? And there's, you know, speaking of Anthony Fauci, everything coming full circle, all of this AIDS research, Pauly has done a good job of sort of chasing out a lot of that stuff, the PEPFAR contingent, and all of this money that is disappearing. Speaking of AIDS, $1.8 billion budget, only 5% going to actual National Cancer Institute, and 5% of the budget. You know, it's always the same scenario. So Rafsky was genuinely asking, not probably realizing that, you know, this is the kind of bioweapon that can target specific demographics, at least, that the Project for a New American Century posited in Rebuilding America's Defenses a year before 9/11. How convenient. But Rafsky was genuinely saying, hey, what are you going to do about this, buddy? And Bill Clinton, you know, they went back and forth a little bit, and this is the infamous, I feel your pain remark. So, and, you know, so have we heard from Rafsky? No, conveniently, he's not around to say what I actually meant was, but we still have Bill Clinton. How perfect. You know, he's always been good at hijacking narratives, and in a very charming and charismatic way. But, you know, as Andrew Breitbart observed shortly before his untimely passing, Bill Ayers is very charming as well. But as Andrew Breitbart said, so is Ted Bundy. So it doesn't mean much. Bill Clinton is very charming. And so is Ted Bundy. So it doesn't mean much. And on that note, we will conclude today's broadcast. I think tomorrow I'll try to circle back to Hayek's Road to Serfdom and Fitta, Johann Gottlieb Fitta. What is his influence in the Western world? It's a lot more pervasive than we are encouraged to forget. So that'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.